For inviting me, it's a pleasure to be here. So, before I start, let me just briefly remark that there are two crucial aspects of discovering new physics at the LHC. A is that we have to anticipate what kind of a new physics is out there, what's plausible, and focus on those things that those ones that it's challenging to discover. Two is to have designed a good search strategy. You understand your background and find good variables. And so I hope to demonstrate to you some of this in the example of top quark related new physics. So first, let me give you some reason that why we think it's highly motivated to consider top quark in new physics models. Top quarks. So the basic reason is that top quark receive its so top quark is heavy and it receive its mass from electroweak symmetry breaking. This means that it has a strong coupling to the electroweak symmetry breaking. Therefore, as a result, it will strongly influence the dynamics of the electroweak symmetry breaking. So one of those influences is this famous loop correction to the Higgs mass, and it's the largest quadratic divergent correction to the Higgs mass in the standard model. And if you put in numbers, it's about 20% times some 0.2 times some cutoff square. And so therefore, naturalness means that you want this correction to be roughly on the order of the Higgs mass. Requires that you at least have to have something that cancels this quadratic divergence. Or another way of saying that this cutoff should be really around TeV scale. And that something is what we call top partner. So what are the expected properties of the top partner? So it's responsible, again, for the cancellation of the quadratic divergence. Therefore, usually we don't expect that cancellation to happen by accident. So we want them to be controlled by a symmetry. Therefore, the top partner has to be in the same symmetry multiplet as the top quark. And it has to have, therefore it has similar quantum numbers just by gauge invariance. And it has to be colored and charged under the weak interaction. Okay? So it could be just simply another higher mass top-like quark, but then that will decay to WB, C top, H top, for example. And on the other hand, so I'll show you a brief example of this, but let me just comment here that this kind of scenario typically is strongly constrained by the precision measurements. So additional top partner properties, if we wanted to avoid some of those constraints, and more naturally is to add some kind of a discrete symmetry. Therefore, that kind of symmetry can suppress those contributions, that dangerous contributions, and that usually implies there's a stable partner. There's a stable particle in the series, which is odd under some discrete symmetry. On the other hand, the cosmology requires that the stable particle better be neutral. Therefore, it cannot be the top partner itself. Therefore, there has to be a neutral stable particle. And the benefits of doing that is, of course, you automatically also get a dark matter candidate in this kind of scenarios. And the implication is that these neutral particles will be produced as a decay product of the top partner. So there's a very well-known example of a top partner, which is the stop in the supersymmetry. There are also other alternative scenarios with different kind of discrete symmetries. So the stop decays to T top plus a neutral particle called LSP, and these analogously these things called LKP and LTP, for example. So collider signal for this kind of top partner. So for top partner without additional symmetry, that they are just going to be singly produced. and with extra symmetry, they have to be pair produced. That's part of the point of imposing the symmetry to begin with. And as I said, it decays to top plus some neutral particle that escaped the detector, so the generic signature will be TT bar plus missing energy. So another line of thought about why top may have some special role to play is just simply because it's much heavier than all the other fermions in the standard model. So that make you may suspect that there may be something unique only known to the top quark. Okay. So such a new physics can just be a resonance decays to TT bar, for example. And example is that, for example, if top is a composite state, then there's some new strong interaction, and that interaction will typically produce, make additional resonances. And those resonances will be strongly coupled to the top. Therefore, if you make those resonances, they will have a large branching ratio decays into TT bar. Okay, so TT bar resonance. And then the generic signature of this resonance is typically controlled by the requirement that the precision test usually constrain the scale of those resonances to be pretty heavy, 2 to 3 TeV. Then when it decays to TT bar, and then TT bar will decay further, but the point is that the top produced this way will have an energy roughly half of the resonance mass. And therefore, the top will be highly boosted. Okay. So it will look like something like this. So boost tops. So there can be additional motivation to consider top quark. So for example, SUSY, just typical supersymmetry scenario, can have it's very likely to have multiple tops in their final states. For example, a very possible SUSY scenario is that they have heavier quarks. Okay, just from flavor changing neutral current constraints, then the stop can just be somewhat lighter, just because there's usually receive larger radio corrections from RGE running, for example. If that's the case, the three-body gluino decay will be dominated by the gluino decay three-body into TT bar via off-shell stop. So if you imagine yourself pair-produced gluinos, you will have four tops in the final state. Okay. So four tops plus TT bar. Plus missing energy. Okay, so this is just to show you some models with heavy scalars. So there are several many classes of models like this with heavy scalars being constructed. This is just some example of it. So a particular example which I'm involved with is that the SUSY breaking is actually mediated by extra U1 prime. And this is motivated by the fact that the U1 is actually, additional U1 is actually pretty generic, common in a lot of high-scale constructions. And in this case, this spectrum has very heavy scalar quarks, which is parametrically heavier than the gluino. And so in addition, for example, in this scenario, in addition to the existence of Z prime itself, so gluino pair decay into four tops is a very important signal.
Where does 4-5 cubes come from?
So in this scenario, so Z prime gave mass to the scalar first, but it enters two loop, give Gugino mass. So scalar square, scalar mass is 4 pi below the C prime mass because it's generally mass square. And then another loop factor, which is 4 pi square. So that's 4 pi cubed. Yeah. So, all right, so let me just, this is a brief summary of the signals I've mentioned so far. So top partner, so you can either have another heavy top quark, or have TT bar plus missing energy. The resonance, TT bar resonance, you can have more tops, such as from gluino decay. So for A and the B, as I will show you, the main problem is that the discovery will be challenging. So that I will focus on that in my talk. And the C is more about the understanding of this complicated final state. I'll give you a very brief summary of it in the end. Okay. But before I go into the details of detect signal and background, let me just have a general summary why such a signal can be different. So the typical search strategy for new physics is that new physics signals, the new physics particles are around the hundreds of GeV and TeV. They produced on shell and they have long decays. Give you notice everything of this is very important. Multiple and simple and energetic objects. Okay. So of course, simple is in quote because even simple object is complicated to reconstruct in the actual detector environment. But what I mean is just a single object like a lepton and a hard jet and a missing energy and also maybe a photon. Okay, so all of them are very important because basically because standard model process is dominated by QCD. QCD don't have an intrinsic hard scale. So therefore you make QCD to make any of those additional hard object cause additional suppression. Okay? So of course there is a major exception to this statement because there is a standard model QCD can also make TT bar top quarks. That's a hard scale. In QCD, in the standard model process. Therefore, so top quark itself is heavy, it decays to multiple objects. For this reason, it's actually the main background for a lot of the new physics searches, and it's particularly, so it's usually still possible because the new physics such as gluino decay into multiple jets and multiple leptons are still quite different from the TT bar, but this will be particularly important challenge for us to think about the top-rich new physics particles. So first of all, if you have a top quark in your final state as your new physics signals, a top itself is not a simple project object. So it decays to three things. You have to infer its existence by the by reconstruction. And so for in the top partner case, so there are the resulting multiple object is very similar to standard model TT bar because they all form a decay of two tops, and the top partner is not much heavier than the top, so they have similar scales, so it's very similar final states and the kinematics. In the heavy top resonance case, the problem is the opposite because in that case top quark is effectively massless. Okay, so it doesn't look like top quark at all. So now you have to. It looks like a standard model gluon instead. So in the many top case, of course, there are too many objects. Okay, to actually reconstruct a simple top quark. So therefore, because as I have argued, this kind of signature we expect them to be very generic, very well motivated. Therefore, it's very necessary to actually develop effective top tangers in various environment that's very different from the standard model production. Okay, so let me first come to the signal of top partner first. So first case is just a simple T prime and another heavy top quark. So it can be produced and either pair produced via standard, just like a standard model TT bar, but only much heavier. Or it can produce via this so-called WB fusion process. You have a gluon coming split into a pair of Bs, another quark radiated W, and WB fusion give you the single production. So it turns out that while the standard model TT bar production at LHC is significant, but the single production actually takes over at the scale around 1.5 TeV, just because the phase space. And so the T prime will decay into, for example, this type of final state, and you can do a reconstruction of the resonance in this case. Okay. So Now let me move on to pair productions. So of course, again, so the example I have in mind is a stop in supersymmetry, or some the T prime fermionic top partner. Okay. So apologize, you probably couldn't see this graph very well. So here is the production rate for the fermionic top partner. This is the production rate of a scalar top partner. So for example, if I have an 800 GeV partner, 800 GeV mass, and the rate is about 0.6 or 0.7 picobar. So you have a significant production rate, and you will produce a lot of them at LHC. But being produced is very different from being detected. So let's try to think about the background in this case. So now think about background. You have to decide what kind of decay final state you want to look for from the TT bar. You can look for all hydronic channel. That's going to be 2 bottom plus 4 jet. On the other hand, I will present you the study we have done here that will focus on the semileptonic channel, where one of the top goes semileptonically. So the potential standard model background for itself is, of course, it's TT bar, because TT bar also have 2 bottom and 2 jet, a lepton, and the neutrino, which give you the missing energy. It's identical final state. And also there is this TTZ final state, and also have a significant rate. We can also just drill, make a standard model W, and the radiation give you all the rest of the hydronic activity. Okay. So these are all the background we have to deal with in this channel. So here are just some distributions for those backgrounds. So for this case, we look at 2 cases. So we have a top partner, we have a missing particle. On this plot, the mass of the top partner is 1 TeV, and we have 2 cases with different mass for the missing particle. So in this case, the missing particle is 800. This case is 200. Okay. So this is the missing energy distribution, and so this is a TT bar. It has a, yes, it's concentrated at the low end, but it has a very long tail. And the WBB jet background is also have a very extended tail. And the TTZ actually has a smaller distribution in the missing energy. And you see that if we are lucky, so if the mass gap between the top partner and the missing particle is large, so in this case I get a lot of missing energy, then I may be able to cut very, very hard on missing energy here. And hope I understand the tails here very well and make some statement about the access there. On the other hand, when the mass gap becomes smaller, then you have a TeV top partner decays to 800 GeV neutral particle plus the top. The top is almost at rest. Okay, so it's very, very much like a standard model TT bar configuration. In this case, this is especially challenging. Okay. So this is another variable called M effective, but I won't. It has a similar problem. It's another typical kind of transverse variables. Okay. So one thing we can try to improve on this conclusion is to actually do some reconstruction. So the idea is that in standard model you go to BB, 2B, 2 jet, and a neutrino and a lepton. Okay, so you're missing missing variables are 4 momentum, four component of the neutrino momentum, but you have a neutrino mass shell condition, W mass shell condition. You measure the missing transverse energy. So in principle, up to discrete ambiguities, you can reconstruct the top quark mass in that channel. And on the other hand, for our signal, you have the same final state. You can make the same assumption and do the reconstruction. But of course, in this case, the assumption is very wrong. Therefore, your reconstruction will fail. It will give you complex solutions. Okay. So in this case, the failed reconstruction, rather than some problem with the detector, is actually a sign of the signal. Okay, so this we can use this as a way to separate the background from the signal. So this is again plot the reconstructed mass on the complex plane. And this is a standard model TT bar. You see it's all the solutions is concentrated on the physical top mass on the real axis here. Of course, there are some complex solutions as well because the smearing. And on the other hand, you see the signal is all spread out. So in principle, I should be able to just draw a box around here, okay, to effectively suppress the signal. Okay, so that's what I did. And let me just show you the final result. So these are the reach plot, and this is for fermionic partner. This is for stop. And so the feature is that yes, I get these numbers are signal over root background, and so five sigma should be a good discovery reach, and you see that for fermionics. In 5 sigma, I can reach to the mass about 1100. Or for scalars, I can reach about to 800, just because scalar top has a lower production rate.
What luminosity?
This is for 100 inverse, I think.
Inverse what?
100 inverse phantomer. Okay. So you see also the discovery reach bends back when the mass of the difference between the mass difference between the top and the missing particle is getting closer to top mass. Okay, so in that case, just because the event really looks not that much different from TT bar, because again you produce the top partner almost at the rest, and they decays to each of them decays to 800 GeV missing particle and the top quark almost at the rest. This is very similar to TT bar production on the threshold. So that's why the reach is less when the mass gap becomes smaller. Okay, so now let me move on to the second class of the signal, which is the heavy resonance decay into highly boosted tops. So as I said, so if you have a very heavy resonance, like 2 to 3 TeV resonance, and a decay down to the decay down to TT bar pair, and each top will get about half of the energy is half of the mass of the resonance, and they are highly boosted. So instead of a normal top which decay into 3 things, where you should be able to isolate them by drawing a cone delta R is 0.4 around it. So this is what we usually do to isolate objects. Instead, a lot of the time, because the top is so boosted, it's going to be end up in the same cone. So the same size of the isolation cone won't be able to separate out those three objects. So from this graph, this is basically a study of what's the percentage of the event you have a fully isolation, full isolation, or versus has no isolation at all. So this plot is probably not very easy to read, but let me just tell you the conclusions. For TT bar resonance greater than 3 TeV, there will be 90% of the event which will have at least one top fully collimated within the delta equal to 0.4 cone, and there will be a large fraction of the event which only have two objects, which means only have two cones. 2.4 cones, so you have two boost top with two narrow objects. There's only a few percent event with a nice lepton isolation, if you still make this 0.4 as a lepton isolation criteria. Okay. So the situation, how much that deteriorates the situation, the answer is pretty bad. And so let's consider the standard normal. So if you have this fully collimated top, and if there's just nothing else you can say about them, you can say, the only thing you can say that is they are a jet, then your background is standard model dijet. And And so here is a figure with the resonance versus the standard model digit background. The signal in the figure is actually a color octet resonance, so it actually has a pretty big production cross section, much bigger than the normal C primes, for example. And so you see that in even this case, roughly a factor of 10 to 100 enhancement of signal over background is necessary to actually dig out this kind of signal. Okay, so, but we should be able to say more about this kind of top signal. The basic intuition is that the top decay is still different. Although they are fully collimated, they are still quite different. They are, it's a decay into three hard initial objects. So this decays to BW, W decays to two additional jet. This is a decay into three hard objects. Where QCD, actually you can build up a fat jet as well, but the most of the object coming from it is coming from the QCD radiation, basically. So energetic top will tend to give massive jets with some substructure. So this is the things we are going to explore. And also, another thing is that the top can also sometimes decay to leptons. For example, it can lead to energetic muons in top jet. Okay, that's also a feature we can try to take advantage of. Okay, so first, let me talk about the jet mass. So we call it the Q jet. And So we can certainly use the fact that the top quark secretly, so the top jet has an environment mass roughly around the top mass, and where QCD jet typically has a smaller environment mass. So on the other hand, we know that if the jet is more energetic, it will tends to radiate more and then make a bigger jet and build up more environment mass. So roughly speaking, a QCD jet, its mass is about 10% of its PT. Okay, roughly, very roughly speaking. So this is a slightly more, so this is somewhat more detailed plot. So this is the jet, the mass of QCD jet as a function of the PT of the jet. You see as the PT grows, the jet becomes more spread out. Okay, the jet moves to higher jet masses. So this is certainly useful still. I mean, for example, I can make a window around the top mass and try to select it. So this is a plot I'm going to show several times. This kind of plot I'm going to show several times later in the talk. So let me just explain a little bit. So of course the main number you are looking for is tagging efficiency versus rejection against the background. Okay, so I can imagine I can build something that have a very high rejection. Okay, build some very strong cuts, but at the same time I will have a very low efficiency as well. I will reject most of the signal as well. On the other hand, I can go the other way around. I have a 100% efficient tagger, but I will allow too many background into it as well. So this is the optimized rejection versus background curve by optimizing the top mass window, the window you cut on the jet mass. Okay, so these are for three masses of different resonances, and these three points are some fixed size environment mass cut that just get to be there to guide your eyes, basically. Okay, so this is how much we can do if I just have a jet mass. On the other hand, there are some additional structure in the jet we should be able to take advantage of. So that actually requires a clear understanding of that, actually requires us to take a little bit harder look on the structure of the QCD jet. So at the leading order, okay, at the leading order QCD, leading log QCD, give us a very clear picture of a series of 1-2-2 splittings. This is called Parton shower. So the basic picture is that I have a mother particle split into two, an A and a B. Okay, so the shower history is characterized by a virtuality, or sorry, not a evolution variable, and such as the mass of this particle, or also or sometimes called the virtuality of this particle, Pt, as well as the energy fraction of those two particles, two daughter particles. How much energy, for example, particle A, is what's the fraction of the energy of particle A carries of the energy of the mother particle. So QCD make a very clean prediction at the leading order to this probability. This is goes by the name of Artarelli-Parisi splitting functions, which is which has two features. A is that it's 1 over the virtuality. This is also known as the collinear singularity, and this is the splitting function. It has a infrared singularity as the energy fraction goes to 0. Okay, so this is going to be, so this is a clean feature of the QCD radiations. So if you look at the splitting, each splitting, and you plot the distribution of the z variable, it will peak towards 0. Okay. On the other hand, for looking at the top jet, at the first branching, okay, it's just a top decay to B and W. Therefore, in this case, the energy fraction should be finite. Okay. There's no singularity in that process. Okay. So this leads to the conclusions that in addition to jet mass, Z variable defined at the first branching of the jet should give us some very useful handle on the boost tops. But we do not really have a microscope to actually look at the full branching history. Okay, we cannot say, oh, this is the first branching. So the way we can only do it approximately. The way to do it approximately is to say that in QCD we cluster the jet by combining small clusters into bigger clusters. That's how we form a jet. This is called jet clustering. The jet clustering history is designed in such a way that it's the inverse. The jet clustering history is the inverse of the shower history, because it tends to combine the protons that's close by first, then build up, where the jet actual proton shower controlled by the infrared and the collinear singularity is exactly the inverse process. Okay, so. And therefore, a way to approximately get to the first branching is to actually look at the inverse of the jet clustering history. And at the point, I have a two subcluster right before the final merging. I will call this two subcluster, the energy, I will call this two subcluster the first branching point, basically. So let's just look at the inverse of the jet clustering history, which you will have anyways, because you will have to form jet to begin with to do this analysis. And you can do the same analysis on the top quark decay, and you try to get to the first branching and define the Z variables there. Okay, so this is the... I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. On a real rare occasion, PowerPoint actually works better than PDF. So anyway, so this is the Z variable if we define that way. So what do we expect? So first of all, on this axis is the jet mass, and this axis is the Z variable that I'm talking about. And so first of all, there is you see that for top resonance, we expect the jet mass to be around top mass. So you see that's the case. Okay, so this is the top mass window, and this is jet mass for top is roughly concentrated here. And for QCD, it's more spread out. And the second of all, and for the Z variable, we say that for QCD, we will see an infrared singularity. So yes, it's indeed the case that QCD events are more concentrated towards the Z variable equals zero, where top event and the Z is always finite.
Okay. So is Z somehow defined in terms of the energies of the particles in the jet?
You don't know
when you see the particles which ones came from.
So the idea is that the ideal Z is the Z at each branching. So what I wanted to get into the first branching. So I have to do the approximation. I take the two subcluster of the.
You don't know from when you see the event. You don't know what's in what subcluster.
I don't know. I just take the energy of those two subcluster, add them up. I call that the energy.
Do you have to partition into all possible subclusters? I mean,
it's just the jet algorithm give you a unique way of partitioning them. Okay, and it makes sense that this will work just because jet algorithm is usually designed to be approximation of the parton shower history. Yeah, so jet algorithm usually give you a history saying that at this step I have this subclusters, and next step I have fewer subclusters, and next step I have fewer. But the two subcluster before the final merging is approximation of the first branching, basically.
Okay, the last two subclusters, and how is Z defined exactly for those two subclusters?
So this is energy of subcluster 1, energy of subcluster 2, right? So energy of subcluster 1, energy of subcluster 2, I add it up, call it the energy of the mother particle, and I...
Z is the minimum of the two divided.
By the energy of the mother particle.
It's like a fragmentation type thing.
It's a splitting. It's literally an arterial Liparici splitting variable. Okay, so there are all kinds of possible, you can define all kinds of possible. So what I just told you is ideal way of define Z, but you can also define various other ways. They all preserve the same structure, the infrared singularity structure of that very Liparici, as long as it reduces to this form in the Unshell collinear limit. Then you will always have the same structure as the actual Liparici equation I've shown. Okay. So let's just take a look at the effectiveness of these observables. So this is the jet mass already in the top mass window from 160 to 200 that we call Q jet. So this is the top quark, this is the QCD jet. You see there is a difference, but it's not that pronounced. Okay, but it is useful. I can make a cut here. On the other hand, the C has a quite a distinct behavior. So you see the C variable for QCD jet is peaked towards the zero. So that because of the infrared singularity, but top is finite. So
to QCD, you're also just comparing leading log.
I compare to Pisia, which is actually leading log plus some tune. So that's why I actually did a couple version of Pisia just to get a feeling of how robust this is.
You're comparing within this, I mean, not to reality, but to the same approximation.
Yeah, but I have a good reason to believe because that's a leading log feature, not the next leading. Right.
You actually. Shower in Pythia and then reconstruct with one of these reconstruction algorithms?
Or yeah. So I forgot to mention we use the jet algorithms that in this package called the FastJet. Basically, it has it uses the KT algorithm. That's the one we use. Okay. So yeah, we showered in Pythia. We actually do the reconstruction. And so on. So the reason is that, as David just mentioned, that you shouldn't trust any of those modeling of the so PCI is just a model of QCD. It's not a correct calculation of QCD. It models pattern shower. It models something that we cannot calculate. So that's the simplest thing we can do to actually at least get some feeling of what the theoretical errors may be is to actually choose different jet showering algorithms and so on. You see although there are tiny shape differences, but the feature of the fact that there's an infrared singularity is pretty robust, which we expect so because it's the leading order prediction of QCD. So this is the efficiency versus rejection curve again. Now I optimize both the top mass window and the Z variable. Okay, so you get this curve, and so for example, the rough estimate of the enhancement on signal over background for TT bar resonance is roughly speaking the efficiency square times rejection square. Okay. So for example, on this plot, it's about a factor of 50 on the 3 TeV resonance. So it's the ballpark of making it observable. Remember, I said a bit before that roughly a factor of 10 to 100 depends on the model. Okay. Again, you should not trust 100% numerically this result because I'm only using a model of the shower. Okay. Well, what's crucial at RHC is that you should be able to measure the real Z distribution in a sideband. Okay. And to actually measure it but to do that you need choose some variable that you can actually do a very nice sideband analysis in the sense that I want one variable that I can go to a region that I'm sure there's no signal. And I'm also quite sure that the distribution of that variable is the same, so that I can measure it there. So again, look at this splitting function. You see this near factorization behavior of the Z variable and the jet mass variable. Therefore, I would argue that Z, in this sense, is a much better variable in terms of doing a sideband analysis, in the sense that I can just take a jet and go to a region of jet mass that's very different from top mass, which I'm sure there's no signal there, and I measure the Z distribution, you see that the Z distribution is relatively it's relatively insensitive to the jet mass. Okay, so now let me just quickly tell you something about, so in principle, we top clock is a 1-2-3 process. It's not a 1-2-2 process. Okay, in principle, I should also be able to do a multiple object analysis with a top clock decay. So I should actually look for 3 hard objects. For example, I can define something, maybe you can call it a transverse sphericity, and it's defined this way. The detailed definition of this is not important. It's a 2x2 matrix built up by all the momentum of all the object in the jet, and the PT is defined by the transverse momentum respect to the jet axis. So this matrix defined this way has the property of its trace is 1. Therefore, there's only 1 independent variables. Let's call it the determinant of this this matrix, and you can show that it's falling in this range. In a strict two-body limit, if you only have 2 of them, two-body limit, you can show that this determinant is 0. So it's non-zero is strictly a 3-body variable. Okay. So, so it's useful to use this variable. However, the warning is that at this 1-2-3 object level, we have much less understanding of how QCD will behave. Okay, we have some rough understanding, but we have much less theoretical control. You see this by for example looking at this. So you see yes, top quark is more 3 object like, so it's non-zero. But QCD is different. But these 3 curves are obtained by using different shower algorithms. You see, there is unlike the Z variable, the QCD background prediction has a big variation there. So, So this doesn't mean that this kind of variable is useless. Of course, they are useful, but it will be even more important to actually get the measurement, to try to measure them, calibrate them at LHC. All right, so let me so now move on to the next class of variables, which is the leptonic variables. As I said, so top for a significant fraction would decay into leptons, in particular the muons. And so even without, it won't satisfy some strong isolation cut, but muons still go through all the hadronic activity and stick out. So we can try to use the fact that in the top jet, if it goes through semi-lepton decays, it has a heavy lepton in it. Of course, there are, again, a list of background to it. First of all, heavy flavors decay give you leptons, okay, as well. However, we should be able to, we expect we should be able to distinguish this because the lifetime of those heavy quarks is all much longer than the QCD scale. And therefore, it will tends to radiate all its energy away before it decays to leptons. Therefore, the lepton in the end should always be pretty soft. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two is that, of course, you can have a just standard model, W plus jet, where a jet happened to end up with overlapping with the W. Okay, now you actually have a hard lepton and had a lot of hydronic activity around it. And of course, this is less often because it's accidental. And there should be also some other kinematical differences. Okay. A comment is that in the top jet, sometimes you also find the leptons from the B decay in the top jet. Okay. But this kind of leptons is going to be very similar to your heavy flavor background. You won't be able to do much about this, trying to distinguish this kind of leptons from the from the actual leptonic decay leptons. Okay, so leptonic variables, I can still have a similar two kinds of variables. One of them is invariant mass type. The other one is the fact that there's a separation. There's a separation between the lepton and the hadronic activity in the top decay case versus nothing like that in the B case. So invariant mass I can define is, for example, I can define something called the visible mass, which is just take the lepton energy plus the rest of the hadronic energy, the four vector of the rest of the hadronic energy and square. Okay, you can show that it has actually fall in this window. Okay, so. But it's somewhat broad distribution, okay, even for the signal, because it's not actually resonance. And there is also a separation type of object I call X mu here. And so first of all, so this is for the visible mass of signal. So this is a signal. Okay. And the pink one is the heavy flavor background, and this is W plus jet. You see, signal has a broad, has some feature. Although it's broad, it has some different features, so it will be useful to cut on the visible mass. On the other hand, this X mu separation variable give you a large separation between the signal, which is blue, and the heavy flavor background. Okay, this is basically take advantage of the fact that the lepton here is harder. Okay, so this should be a useful variable to use to distinguish the signal from the heavy flavor background. But on the other hand, the W and the jet background has an even larger distribution on this X mu variable, just because they are accidental on top of each other, the lepton is also hard. Okay. But WJET distribution, while you actually get a similar distribution for X mu, you can actually use some other variables that tell them apart. For example, I can define another C-like variables, which is the energy of the muon divided by the total energy of the sum of the muon and the sum of the hadronic activity. And in this case, the C mu for top quark is middle, because the mu and the jet really sort of share the energy of the initial top quark. And in the W jet background, it's really peaked towards zero, just because peaked towards one, just because in that case, usually it's a hard muon. What happens usually is a hard muon, and which gets clustered together with some soft jet. Okay, therefore muon takes most of the energy. And it's even harder than the muon in the top quark. So this is another variable I can use to distinguish W jet from plus jet from the top background. Sorry, from the top signal. So efficiency versus rejection. So against the heavy flavor, I'm going to optimize the efficiency versus rejection. Optimize both the visible mass and the X mu variable. You see that the rejection, efficient rejection is great. Okay, so in this case, and in the W jet background, I can also get some fairly decent result. For example, if I have a 40-50% efficiency, I can get a factor of 15 to 20 rejection. Okay. So it's very good against heavy flavor. It can also distinguish top jet from W plus jet background. Okay, so this is just a summary of all the result that I showed. So yes, to begin with, we need a order of 10 to 100 enhancement, and the substructure variables proposed here in both hadronic and leptonic case are pretty effective. So I'm currently doing some more detailed study in collaboration with some with the experimentalists. So there can be also further improvement on the rough numbers that I can show. I expect that. And so for example, I only consider the fact that I want to tag one top. Okay, I just have a tagging efficiency for get that top. I haven't taken into advantage of that the fact that it's actually TT bar resonance. So these two actually can reconstruct resonance, and because it's decaying from a resonance, the angular distribution should be different from the QCD background. And better lepton ID and the use B tagging, etc. Let me also mention that recently we proposed a new jet algorithm, which is changing the shape of the jet. Depends on the kinematics. We demonstrated that it's actually much better in terms of reconstructing hadronic resonances, this kind of jet algorithm. So it will certainly help in this case. So ask us about for a software plugin to use with the FastJet package if you are interested in trying it out. Okay, so let me just briefly mention the last subject where you actually have many top quarks from Gluino decay. So discovery is actually quite promising in this case, because if four top quarks, the chances that you have two leptons is pretty high. So you get great discovery potentials from, for example, jet plus same sign dileptone channel. And on the other hand, you have too many objects in the event. There's a lot of combinatorials. There are 12 objects plus the initial and final state radiations. And therefore, the reconstruction efficiency, especially for multiple tops, is actually pretty low. You see that. So this is just a rough estimate of the reconstruction efficiency. And so for reconstructing one of those tops is pretty high. But on the other hand, is almost zero if you want to reconstruct all four of them. So this actually poses a big challenge in terms of interpreting this kind of final state. You can probably be reasonably sure that there are some top quarks, but you probably won't be able to really measure, for example, the Gluino decay branching ratios into TT or TB, or BB or TB, for example, because they all give you a lot of Bs and the leptons. And you won't be able to really reconstruct four tops. What make it worse is that early discovery of this kind of signal is usually in the lepton-rich channels. You have leptons, but in top decay, every lepton comes with a missing energy, comes with a loss of reconstruction power capability. Okay, so you won't be able to really reconstruct the tops in those channels very well. Okay, so what we sort of proposed here is to, at least at early stage, one can try to do a fitting strategy, like with the one we proposed in this approach called OSAT. And basically, you start with samples with different final state, and you fit the branching ratios. And you have to start with a set of templates you fit to the branching ratios. And so for example, here is an example that I fit to the ratio of branching ratio of gluino to TT bar versus gluino to BB bar. And this is the truth. And these are dots here are different choice of parameters for my templates. And you see that the relatively insensitive to the choice of your assumptions, you always converge on the right answer with a reasonable amount of integrated luminosity, such as 20 inverse femtobar. Okay, so this is my conclusion. So it's we think it's highly plausible that top quark will be part of the signal for new physics. On the other hand, in comparison with the standard model production of those top quarks, those signals have a different kinematics and the topology and the event topology. So therefore, it's very useful to develop new top taggers in different environment, such as the cases I have emphasized, TT bar plus missing energy boost top, and so on. And there are many other cases we haven't studied yet. So we're also collaborating with experimentalists to perform studies with realistic detector simulations. Of course, more effort in this direction is much needed. Thank you.
I had a question on those. I think it was slide 23 or 24, you're talking about reconstructing the top max.
Yeah.
With the W constraint?
Yes.
So if you use the W mass constraint, you should get two solutions for the neutrino PZ.
Yeah.
So how do you choose which one to use?
Uh-huh. So in the, let me see. Should I say this correctly? So let me just go back to it. So I've used the neutrino mass shell condition, I used W mass shell condition, but I'm not going to try to measure top mass here. So I'm going to use the, you can either do it two ways. You demand the W and the B, reconstruct which one is the best to reconstruct top quark, or you can demand that the combine the W and the, this B, and that you have now B, J, J on the other side. You demand that those two have the closest invariant mass. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can do either one of them. I think we use the second one in this case, but they should be quite similar in this case.
Okay.
Yeah, because the reason is that unlike the strategy, I actually use that reconstruction trying to measure top quark mass. I'm actually using it as a way to separate the signal.
Okay, and so what fraction of time in your standard model versus your signal do you get a complex solution? Do you get a complex solution in the standard model, you said? It's light?
Yeah, so of course it depends on exactly the kind of smearing you use.
Uh-huh.
Right, for us, we use some typical CMS numbers, and this is the fraction. So these are the ratios. So yeah, so. 1% of the time you get a slightly complex solution, and even less than that you get the and the, yeah, about to 50 GeV range. Yeah. All right, thank you.